This dynamic message is brought to you by Redemption in Jesus with Marco Bravo.
This morning, I'm going to start a new series of teaching, and it's based on faith, but specifically more about us exercising our faith, expressing our faith. I know that there's a lot of teaching out there. Much of it, unfortunately, is works-based. You know, you do in order to get, you perform in order to receive. And God has a different plan for us for faith. Amen. Yes, He wants us to receive. Yes, He wants us to enjoy what we have in Jesus. But He wants us to practice our faith based on His grace. The new covenant is a covenant of grace. The old covenant was a covenant of law. Amen. That's why the cross came, Jesus came, and basically He made the distinction between the two covenants. The old covenant has an operating system. It's called the law. That's how people related to God. That's how they were expected to relate to God. The new covenant has a new operating system, a different operating system, which is grace. And that's how God wants His people to relate to Him, by His grace. Do we reject the law? No, but we embrace it for the reasons God gave us the law. Amen. And ultimately, yes, the law reveals the character of God, reveals the nature of God, reveals the standard of God, but it's not how we are to relate to God. God doesn't want us earning and deserving our way to heaven, our salvation, our relationship with Him, or anything from Him. That's why He provided Jesus. Because we couldn't do it, He provided Jesus. Amen. And so we must never forget that. So when it comes to matters of faith, He wants us practicing our faith. He wants us understanding faith. He wants us exercising our faith in the exact same way by the new covenant operating system, which is grace. Amen. And so I want us to remember that. So here is the title of our series this morning. It is titled, Aligning Our Voice with God's Will. And that's going to be the emphasis of the series, but we're going to, you know, go and look at different aspects to make sure we get the fullness of that revelation and of that truth. And today in part one, we are going to look at what faith is. Now, I know that most of you can probably quote a number of verses on faith. You probably heard a lot of teaching on faith. I certainly have. And in my BG days, as I say, which is my before grace days, before I really truly understood the grace of God and didn't just understand it as a subject or as a topic, but I actually got the revelation that the Lord Jesus is grace personified. He is grace Himself. John 1 tells us that. And so when I understood that we are to relate to God by His grace, of course, that made me question so much of what I was taught, so much of what I had heard, and pursue to understand truth and understand what faith really is. And so we're going to share some of those things with you today. So remember, the greater scope, the greater point of our series is aligning our voice with God's will. But in order to get to that point, we need to understand what faith is, okay? And that's what we're going to do today. And of course, if I were to ask you, what one verse in the Bible defines faith? Where does God actually give us the definition of faith? I know that you would probably say, well, that's Hebrews 11, verse 1. And you are right. So let's take a look at that. Hebrews 11, verse 1. And today we're reading mostly from the New King James translation. Okay. It says the following. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I am 100% sure that most of you can preach a good couple of sermons just from that verse alone. Amen. And so today, I want to unpack that a little bit. But like I said, I want us to look at it from a beyond the cross point of view, from a grace perspective, from a perspective of how we are to relate to God by His grace based on the new covenant. And so what we're going to do is we're going to unpack that verse part by part. And I want to share some things with you, explain some things, and illustrate some of those things. And hopefully, by doing that, you're actually going to see something that you hadn't seen before, and possibly and hopefully gain a greater understanding of faith and how we are to see it, understand it, and practice it as New Covenant believers. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. So let's begin again by looking at the first thing that I want to unpack from that verse. So here it is. Yeah, let me show you. Remember, you saw then it says, and I've emboldened it so you can see it. It says, now faith is. Look at the word that it starts with, and look at the word that it ends with faith in between. The word is now, and the other is. Now and is. What do those words communicate to us? They communicate that faith has to do with the present tense, right? It doesn't have to do with the past tense. It doesn't have to do with the future tense, although it will affect it. But it says, now faith is. So what I want to point out to you there is that believing, which is what faith is, that's a synonymous word that you can use for faith. So if you say, I have faith, you could also say, I believe, because that's the same thing. But note, it's in the present tense. So what that means is that believing operates in the now. Do you agree? So believing operates right now. It's meant to be operating right now in the present tense, right? Even though what you're believing for is still in the future, it is still unseen. It operates now, right? So that's the first thing. In other words, whatever it is that you are believing it now. For example, let's take salvation. If you've received salvation in Jesus, whenever it was that you received salvation in Jesus, from that point onward, you have continued believing that you are saved, that you are on your way to heaven, that you have a restored relationship with God, correct? So you are perpetually in your present tense continuing to believe that you are saved. You see, that's faith. That's what it looks like. That's what now faith is. Because even as I'm speaking to you right now, we're all still believing right now, and in the few minutes to come, we'll continue it because they'll become present tense. We will continue believing that we are saved. That's what faith is. That's what it says faith is. Faith operates in the now. The second thing that I want to point out to you is the second part of that verse. It says, now faith is, watch what it says next, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So let's zero in on what I've emboldened there. The substance of things hoped for. So faith is also the substance of things hoped for. Okay, what does that mean? Well, I went and I had a look at the original Greek that was written in, and I looked at the word substance specifically. And that word substance in the Greek is the word hypostasis or something like that. Okay. And what it basically means is it means assurance, it means reality, it means foundation, or inner confidence. So we can replace that word in that verse with those words. And I'm going to read it and say it, so it's not on the screen, but you can just listen to it. So this is how you could also put it then. It says, now faith is the assurance or the reality or the foundation or the inner confidence of the things hoped for. OK, Okay? So it's like saying faith gives reality to hope. So you know that hope and faith are two different things. That's why they are mentioned there separately. Hope always has to do with the future. If you are hoping for something, it's because you want it to happen in the future, right? So that's to do with the future. But remember, we just saw that now faith is. So believing has to deal with or deals with the present. But yet what it says is that when you believe in the present, for something that you are hoping for, which is in the future, what is actually going to happen is that it's going to bring it into your present. I know that this is elementary for some of you. Just stay with me, okay? So it's going to bring it into your present. So what faith does is it gives reality to hope. So don't ever confuse having hope for having faith. They are not the same thing. Some people think because they have great hope and they hope for certain things to happen. You know, they hope that this, they hope that, they have great hope. They think they have faith. No, you have to hope, but in order for that hope to be given reality, to be given substance, to be given power, if you will, you have to believe it now. See, that's what faith is. So yes, it's good to hope. You've got to have hope, but then you believe it now and it will manifest it in your now. Amen. That's what it's saying. So hope is future looking. In other words, it's what you're expecting, but faith brings it into a present tense conviction. Did you hear what I said? So believing brings it into a present tense conviction. So if you are hoping for something, you know that it's in the future. But by you believing it, by you having that faith, you are going to bring it into your present because you have the conviction that you have it now. Now, in case you're thinking this is the name it and claim it and all of that doctrine and prosperity gospel and all that, I lived in that world at one time. And I'm not saying it's not God's desire to prosper us, but let me assure you. But anyway, let me not get into that, okay? I don't want to speak about that today. So let's stay focused. So faith, believing, brings your hopes into the present. So that's the second thing that this verse reveals to us about faith. Now, let's unpack the third part of that verse. Here it is here. Hebrews 11 verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Then it says this, the evidence of things not seen. You know, we'd like in our society to look for proof. If somebody says something, you say, well, where's the proof? If they tell you a rumor or something about someone else, you want proof. If they say to you, well, you know, I saw this, you're not going to believe it. You say, well, where's the proof? Show me the video. Show me the photo. Show me your witnesses or something. You could say believing is the evidence of the things that are not yet seen. You could put it that way. So if I believe something, even though we don't see it yet with our natural eyes, even though we may not be yet experiencing it, the fact that we believe it is the evidence that I have it. I can put it that way too. Okay. So there's another interesting word, evidence. And so what I did is I also looked at the Greek original of that word. And that word evidence is the Greek word elekchos or elekos, whichever way you pronounce it. But more importantly, it also means and can also be translated as proof, conviction, or certainty. So you could say, for the proof, the conviction, or the certainty of things not seen. In other words, it's where you are fully convinced. And the fact that you believe it is your proof. Amen. So that's what faith is. So faith acts as your internal proof of something that you cannot yet see with your eyes. In other words, people around you may say, I don't understand why you believe that. I don't understand this belief thing. But you just know inside you, you believe it and you are convinced. That is your internal proof. Amen. So faith doesn't wait for visible confirmation. If you are waiting to be convinced with something physical, then you're not really believing, right? It's you are believing while you don't yet see it. That's real faith. And so faith doesn't wait for visible confirmation. It acts on what God says as though it had already been done. Because quite frankly, through Jesus and the finished work of the cross, it was done. So that's what makes faith active and what makes it alive. Okay. Now, to bring those truths home and to give you a picture, a visual of what that looks like, Hebrews 11 verse 1 and everything that I've just explained, I want to share an illustration and show you some slides. And hopefully looking at these will help you understand it and just comprehend it a little clearer and just bring something new and something more into your belief system about faith. So imagine you inherit a piece of land. It is given to you. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Let's just say 2 acres that you are given. It's a good size of a piece of land and it's great. And so what you do is you go and see the lawyer, and you with the lawyer go to the respective government office, and you are given the title deed for that land. Now you know the land is yours. Now you have the proof. You have the conviction that that land is yours. So then you decide, and along with it, you were given some money, enough to build a house on the land. So you decide to hire an architect and the different contractors, and you decide you're going to build a house to your design, to your liking. Wouldn't that be great? And so let me show you some slides just to illustrate that, and then I'm going to tie it in and explain it, okay? So here's the first one. Here is a piece of land. This is your piece of land that you inherited. It looks like on the left side, there's already a place for a swimming pool ready to go, doesn't it? And in the middle, or wherever you like, you can build your house. So that's your piece of land, okay? And now, let me show you the title deed for your land. So here is your title deed. And there it is, boom, proof, with the keys, endorsed, and everything. So now you also have the title deed for your piece of land, okay? And now let me show you what perhaps, and of course this is different for every person, but let me show you the blueprints and the model that was built of the home that you decided to build on your piece of land. So here it is. There's the blueprints designed by the architect to your liking, and they've even designed a little model to show you what your house is going to look like on your piece of land. It looks pretty good. And so there it is. You have your blueprint as well. So now, what do those things represent in light of faith, in light of how faith is defined? Well, first of all, the empty land represents God's promise to you. It represents what He's provided for you in Jesus. That's the promised land, if you will. That is your inheritance that you have in Jesus. It is given to you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. You inherited it by virtue of what Jesus did for you at the cross and through the finished work of the cross. Amen. So that's what the empty land represents. So it's what God has already provided for you in Jesus. Then the title deed represents your faith. You see, remember, faith is the confident assurance that what God has promised is already yours, right? So because it's already yours, God gives you a title deed to what he gives you. So you can have the confidence that it's yours, that it has to do with ownership. And the finished work of the cross and God's word tells you and proves to you that those promises are yours in Jesus. Okay, so that's what the title deed represents. And then the blueprint represents your hope. In other words, your joyful expectation that it's only a matter of time before you see the actual blueprints and the little model actually built on your land and something you can step into and live in. That's what the blueprint represents, is your hope. So the land represents God's promise to you, your inheritance in Jesus. The title deed represents you believing and owning it through believing. So you believe it because you own it, because you believe God and take him at his word. And then hope is you waiting for the rest of the promise, the rest of everything else to happen on what God has already provided for you. Amen. So that's one way to see that. You see, hope is like having the blueprint of your promised future. And faith is like holding the title deed, in other words, your legal claim to what is yet to manifest in your life. So you are convinced and you know, I see the word of God, I see the promises of God, I see that these things are mine in Jesus, so it's my inheritance, it's my land. And God says, when I receive salvation in Jesus, I am his child, and therefore I inherit his promises. So I believe that those promises are mine. That's you and your title deed. And then as you go through life, you wait and you expect these promises to happen and manifest in your life. That is your blueprint that will, in a matter of time, become real. So that's one way that you can see it. I trust that that helps somebody, and I trust that that makes sense. So as an example, this is something that we, most of us, deal with in our life. As an example, if you are trusting God for healing, for example, well, you know that God, through Jesus, as Pastor Helena read this morning out of Isaiah, by his wounds we are healed. By the stripes of Jesus we are healed. By everything that he went through at the cross, we are healed. We were provided divine healing. Amen. Regardless of what the world says, regardless of what goes on in life, regardless how severe and intense the situation may be, we know that the land has been given to us of healing. Amen. And so what we need to do is take God's promises and believe them. Because the moment we believe them, we take ownership of them. And then when we take ownership of them, our hoping that that promise will happen in our life is the blueprint, and we already have the blueprint, we have the expectation, so it's only a matter of time before it actually happens. Amen. So what I'm saying in all of that is that hope expects healing. Belief owns it, or you could say faith owns it. Are you with me? So the one has to deal with expectation, because that's what the blueprint does. It helps you have an expectation. And the title deed gives you ownership. It's mine. I know that I do have it. Amen. So that's one way you can put it. Even if you don't see it, you know that you have it. So let me show you one last slide in relation to that illustration, just to kind of bring it all home. So there it is. You're on your land. You have your title deed. You have your blueprints on a table on your land. And right behind in the background, you see construction has begun. And so that's what it says in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is, in other words, it's in the present, you are believing, and therefore you have the title deed, and it says that it is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, you have your blueprint, you know what you are hoping for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. In other words, the fact that you don't see the full house yet, you know that you have it because you have the blueprint, the hope. And so it's only a matter of time before it's all built and it's all done. Amen. Praise God. I know that when I did it, looked at it that way, and when I illustrated it that way, what God really did to me, you know, it just kind of began to take me into a deeper, deeper place. Because there are some things that we really need to continue trusting God for. Amen. And that's what God wants for us. Praise God. And so let me share with you a practical paraphrase of Hebrews 11 verse 1 based on everything that I've shared with you so far. Faith is being absolutely sure right now that what you're hoping for will happen. And it's your inner proof of what God has promised, even though you cannot see it yet. Would you agree with me that that's a great way of paraphrasing it, if I may say so myself? Because it's basically telling us what Hebrews 11:1 says, right? It's believing right now that you have what you are hoping for, even though you cannot see it yet. You believing it is your inner proof that you believe what God has promised. Amen. It's pretty powerful. So let me give you a practical application of Hebrews 11 verse 1. I'm going to give you four different things. I don't have them coming up on the screen, okay? So you've just got to listen real close. But I want to give you four practical things that you can apply, that you can do in your life to exercise faith the way we've just discussed it, and the way that I've just shown you, and the way that I've just illustrated to you. Okay? Number one, we need to live as though God's word is true. Why? Because it is true. But live as though it's true in your life. Now, will people make fun of you and mock you and say, well, I'm a realist. I've had that. I've had so many realists, you know, tell me, well, you know, you live there and that's your crutch and that's how you deal with whatever psychological, mental thing you have. I'm telling you, you're going to be ripped to pieces by the worst of critics. But at the end of the day, you know, they're not God. So who are you going to believe? So number one, the first practical application to faith is that we need to live as though God's word is true. Why? Because it is. It is true. Amen. You see, faith takes God at his word as final authority, even above feelings, even above circumstances, or even above timing. Regardless of how long it may take, we believe and trust God. And you know, one of my testimonies that you've heard me share many times is that of us, Helene and I, becoming a family. We got married at the end of 1992, and we trusted God for a family. And God actually gave us more than one prophetic word through different people, different situations, that we would be a family one day. So 2 years of marriage go by, and we finally fall pregnant, only to miscarry our little Joshua. And praise God, we're going to see him in heaven. Praise God. I mean, he would have been a full-grown man now. How old would he be now? Close to his 30s, yeah. So, but anyway, so that happened. And it was tragic. It was traumatic. And for whatever reason, we couldn't fall pregnant after that. But yet we had the word from God. And even beyond that, it was repeated to us that we will be a family. And so we held on to that word. Fast forward 15 years from that point. 15 years, we continued believing and trusting God. We believed God's word as though it were true. And 15 years later, our beautiful daughter, Gabriella, came into our lives. And man, today I saw on 4th of July some phenomenal fireworks, new technology with drones and all kinds of things. But the very best of fireworks, even yet to come with technology that's not even invented, will never compare to the awe of us having our beautiful daughter. And as Helena said earlier, she turned 18 this week. So she's officially an adult now in the United States. And she probably doesn't like me talking about her so much, but I'll change the subject. But what I'm saying is that we believe God's word and we held fast to that promise. Even though throughout that time, we had people saying, well, you know, the clock is ticking. Have you thought about in vitro? Have you thought about this? Have you thought about freezing this and freezing that? We had all kinds of input. But at the end of the day, we knew God was going to make us a family. And he did. So we need to live as though God's word is true. Because it is. Amen. That's the first practical step to walking, living by faith. The second step, the second practical application that I want to share with you is let hope give you vision. And let faith give you substance. So let hope give you vision, see it. And let believing give you the certainty, the substance to it. And that's what we did. Helena and I, throughout those 15 years, yes, we had ups and downs. Yes, we would see people with new babies. And here in Texas, it's almost an expectation to have a family of 3 to 6 children. So when we would see in church all these beautiful families just growing and more babies coming in, and you still see it today in Texas, we would get a little discouraged. Our heart would ache a little bit, but we held fast to the promise of God. Praise God. So we need to let hope give us vision. You've got to have a blueprint. If you don't have a blueprint, where do you get your blueprint? The Word of God. If you don't have a blueprint, it's hard for you, for your faith, for your believing to give substance to something. You see, once you have your blueprint, you can now own it. That's how you give it substance. You can own it and expect it. Amen. So that's the second thing. The third practical application that I want to give you is that you need to, and that's what our series is really about, and we'll get into it. We need to speak what we believe. You need to speak what you believe. Not what you see, but what you believe. Amen. You need to speak what you believe. And I mean, I remember throughout those years, people would say, well, you know, they would try and advise us. And I know they meant well, but it was just trying to take us out of faith. But we believed and we trusted God and we spoke it. We would say, we are a family. We are going to have a child. We are going to enjoy being parents. We would see it. We would believe it. We had a vision board. We would see babies and see our own and us carrying our own. And all of those wonderful dreams were fulfilled by God. Praise God. And so you need to speak what you believe, not what you see. And we're going to dig into that a whole lot more in this series. Okay, so I'm not going to say too much about it now. The fourth practical application that I want to give you today. This is that you need to act like it's done. I remember throughout those 15 years, specifically when we were here in the United States already, Helena and I would walk and go intentionally into the baby section of shops. Our favorite one was Target or Tarjay, whatever you want to call it. And we would go through the baby section. And I would go and see what is the latest technology, what is the latest things that they have for babies. We would become familiar with the bottles, you know, bottles that don't make babies burp and have air and pain. We would look at diapers and see what the different kinds are. And we would look at clothes and just picture clothes of our child and so forth. But we need to act like it's done. Now, did people around me think that it's crazy? And, you know, we don't have to act crazy. We just act like it's done, just normally. And so why is that? Because faith often moves before results are visible. Isn't that true? If you really believe something, you're going to, I mean, someone who gets blueprints, you know, you may say, well, but that just sounds crazy. I've seen people like that and they're just nuts. Okay. Well, if you at some point built a house and you had the blueprint, you are no different to someone who acts like it's done. Because when you had your blueprints and you went to the site, to the land to see how much they built the day before, were you not doing the same thing as someone who acts like it's done? Because you're expecting it to be done, right? So we just got to do the same thing. So how do we act like it's done? Well, we thank God before we see the answer. Amen. And we walk in joy and peace now because we trust Him. In other words, Father, thank you that you provided healing for me at the cross. And in Jesus' name, I thank you that I see myself walking in that health and wholeness. And I mean, I've seen some wonderful miracles, even in our time. I have seen wonderful miracles. I have seen videos of wonderful miracles that are just phenomenal, and you can see the hand of God is there. But it behooves us to believe and trust God for ourselves. Even if we have to do it our whole life, I'd rather spend my life believing and trusting God than giving up and not believing and not trusting God. Amen. I'd rather be optimistic than be pessimistic. I'd rather see the glass half full than see it half empty in my life. Amen. I mean, to this day, I'm still holding on to some things. And some people think that, you know, I'm in denial and this and that. I don't care what they say. I'm going to keep believing because that's where my faith is at. Amen. And we need to keep doing that in Jesus' name. Praise God. So right now, all you may see is open land. But I'm here to tell you that you already have the title deed. Amen. You do. In Jesus and through the finished work of the cross, you have the title deed. So you may just see the open land, but look at God's word. Your blueprints are there. So begin to hope and envision and expect. And you will see faith works. Praise God. So the fact that you cannot see the physical building yet doesn't change the fact that you own it. Isn't that true? If you've already inherited the land, you have the blueprints, and you already paid to have the house built, you own it. It's just a matter of fully manifesting. Well, that's how it is for us in Jesus. God has given us over 7,000 promises to let us know and to cover every aspect of our lives. Amen. I think sometimes, and I say this with all due respect, not wanting to offend anybody, but I think sometimes we just get too lazy to look into God's word and find those promises. And it's easier for some people just to believe the facts, because it takes no effort to believe facts and make a little effort to see what God says and actually believe that. Anyway, you see, faith doesn't wait for the physical building to go up before it rejoices. What faith does is it says, it's mine and I see it now because God promised it so. That's why God tells us to walk by faith and live by faith. That's why it says, now faith is. Amen. So that's what Hebrews 11:1 at least is telling us. Praise God. It's telling us that faith gives substance to the things we hope for and is the evidence of what we do not yet see. And that's what it is, praise God. Now, what is wonderful and beautiful, that whole chapter of Hebrews 11 is actually phenomenal to read in light of what I've shared with you today. But I want to end by just sharing one quick example of everything we've shared today in action, real quick. Half a verse, not even the whole verse, okay? Hebrews 11 verse 7, the first part of that verse. Watch this. It says, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. he obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. Now look at those portions that I've emboldened there. So now we know that what faith is. And it says that it was by faith that Noah built a large boat. So in other words, Noah had a promise from God. He had a word from God. He warned him and he told him about it. So he had the blueprint. And then God made him the promise and said, go build a boat. And Noah, it says there, having never seen these things before. And I've already shown you in a different teaching how before the flood of Noah, there was no rain on the earth. It says that God, from under the ground, would water the plants. A mist would come out. So no one up to that point had seen rain or had seen a flood on the earth. So it was unknown, uncommon to Noah. But yet it says, because he believed God and he hoped in salvation for he and his family, he obeyed God. I mean, that is a powerful example of action of everything we've discussed today. Amen. You see, right in that portion, in Noah's example, you see the different aspects of Hebrews 11 verse 1. For example, remember it says that faith is the evidence of things hoped for or the substance of things hoped for. Well, Noah hoped for salvation from the coming flood as God promised him. So he had that. Then remember it says the evidence of things not seen. Well, Noah had never seen rain or flood like what God had described, but he trusted God's word alone and he saved his family. And you know the rest of the story. So what action did Noah take? Well, Noah built the ark based solely on God's word before any sign of rain. Showing his faith had substance and evidence. Amen. He believed, Noah believed, but also, if you go read the account, he spoke about it. You see that he went around telling others about it. And they just made fun of him. They didn't believe him. They didn't get on the boat with him. And they all perished. But they had a chance. So Noah believed, but he also spoke about it. And that's the core of our series as well. We're going to see how we speak about it, why we speak about it, and how important speaking about it is. I'm going to show you some things that I'm hoping you hadn't heard before, some things that may be affirmed, but I believe some things that will change the way you believe. Praise God. He spoke about it. He acted. Noah's faith became visible through his obedience. So he had the land, he had the blueprint, and he had the title deed. And it happened. Amen. Powerful stuff. Praise God. This is what faith is and will always be. And that's what we cover here in part one. Now, don't miss part two because I'm going to get into the little intricacies and I'm going to build up. So by the time we get to the place where we actually explain the title, which is aligning our voice with God's will, you are going to see it's going to be absolutely awesome because we're going to have all of this backing all of that. Praise God.
We trust that you are blessed by this message. For more information about our ministry or to make a donation to help us continue spreading the gospel, please visit our website at redemptioninjesus.com.